You know what that means? That means Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette is on deck here. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's 11:10. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Ray, I'm going to start you with this one. Russell Wilson, I think, was talking with Hannah Storm from ESPN. I think he might have said this in training camp, too, but seems more relevant now. Says, I definitely want to play 5 to 7 more years. 5 to 7 more years. And then we had your friend and ours, Mark Caballi, the big boy, saying that the Steelers retaining both Wilson and Fields is, quote, not only not realistic, but also never going to happen. Dude. Where do you stand on all of this, on Russell Wilson's future, and whether it's conceivable that him and Fields could both be back?
Well, I don't think it's conceivable that both would be back, because Russell Wilson is going to get paid after the season ends, and he's going to be the undisputed starter. And Justin Fields, he and his agent are going to seek work elsewhere where he has a better shot at maybe earning a starting job, I would think. I think there's probably going to be, you know, 5 to 8 teams out there that's going to need a starting quarterback. And Justin Fields can do the same thing he did this year, be that bridge quarterback until somebody else comes along. And I think he did that job very well. So I think he's going to be in demand this offseason. And Russell Wilson, he's going to get paid by the Steelers before March. That's for sure.
What's a ballpark figure in your opinion? Let's say this keeps up. Like, you know, I'm not saying they'll win the Super Bowl. Well, I'm not saying he'll fall apart. He'll be good. He'll be good the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, so it all depends on where Russ is in his life, right? I mean, he was willing to take the vet minimum this year because Denver was paying him. You know, he's a little bit like Tom Brady. You know, he's got a wife who, you know, earns a lot of money, and I don't think he necessarily needs that money. So, you know, would he take a hometown discount so the Steelers could build around him? What would that number be? Maybe that number is $30 million a year. I'm not sure. But if Russ isn't there, let's say Russ wants to max out, he is probably worth more than that. He's probably worth, I would think, anywhere up to, you know, $35, $40 million a year, you know, based on what he's done so far. Obviously, a short 3-game sample. So that's sort of where I am right now. I'm as interested as anyone to find out after the season ends how much money he's going to demand.
Ray, let's say he does just have a good rest of the way, and like Joe said, it's not like they win the Super Bowl, but he doesn't completely fall apart. And you just talked about the ballpark estimate maybe of what he could be looking at. What is the price point for you if you were the guy in charge of making this happen where you would say, okay, no deal? Yeah.
So, I mean, let's say $35 million a year tops over a 3-year deal, and I probably wouldn't want to guarantee more than, I don't know, 55 or 60 million. So, you know, pretty much come close to guaranteeing the first 2 years, just because of age. Not everyone can be Tom Brady and play great into their early 40s. I would want to be protected a little bit. So that's, you know, that's my reasoning there.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. Read his stuff at postgazette.com. All right, Ray, there's so many different things to talk about here. Do you feel like on the field, the Steelers have the capability to win a shootout-type game? I think Donnie and I both feel this game might get up into the upper 20s, low 30s. Yes, Donnie?
Yes, yeah. I do.
So do they have a capability to, like, what kind of game, do you still definitely want a low-scoring game? Do you have a big advantage in a low-scoring game? What do you think on that?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, they're definitely capable of winning a high-scoring game, but I think the odds go in Baltimore's favor if it is, you know, high 20s, low 30s type of game. That's where they're comfortable. And if you look at the way the Steelers have played, you know, last week withstanding, they're a team that kind of likes to muddy the waters and win those low scoring games. You know, I think the Steelers might have a better shot if they limit Lamar's possessions, control the ball, run the ball. That's probably the formula that's going to be best served to have them win this football game. But I'm with you. Ever since Russell Wilson was inserted as the starter, they have a more capability to win those shootouts than they did when Justin Fields was under center.
Ray, we haven't seen Justin Fields yet infused in any sort of package since Russell Wilson took over. I have a weird feeling, though. I mean, I have no intuition on this, but I just have a weird feeling that we will see Justin Fields on the field for at least one play on Sunday, maybe in a goal-to-go situation, like a first and goal from the three-yard line or something.
Yeah.
Do you think this is the type of game where they should try to implement that?
I wouldn't do it until I saw that maybe Russ was struggling a little bit, and I wouldn't do that. Let's say the Steelers go up and down the field the first series of the game. I wouldn't do it then. I want Russ to get into a rhythm, but I think you saw last week versus the Commanders, there were probably several opportunities to maybe get Justin involved in that football game just because Russ wasn't having that great game until the end there. So both Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith have been very coy about it. They want teams to prepare for it. Smith said yesterday, hey, maybe we'll see it Sunday. Maybe we'll see it next Sunday. So they'd like to keep people guessing, but I'm with you, Donnie. I do think eventually we will see that. I just can't predict when.
Do you think the Steelers will try to exploit what Baltimore is not good at? That is defending the pass. They're very good at defending the run.
Yeah, but I think they're going to stay true to who they are, and I think they're going to want to establish the run, stick with it even if it's not going well. But, yeah, I mean, the Steelers aren't going to run into a brick wall. If Baltimore is, if they're constantly in second and nine or third and seven, they're going to abandon that pretty quick, and they're going to see if they could take some shots against that Ravens defense, which, as you know, has been fairly leaky here for most of the season, and especially in recent weeks. You guys saw what Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow did to those guys. So, yeah, the Steelers have George Pickens. They have now Mike Williams, so they're going to be able to throw the ball down the field and take some shots, even if that running game isn't working. But I do think they're going to stay true to their identity and try to establish that first.
Ray Fittipaldo brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyer, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally, lgkg.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can always say hello to our dear friend City Limits on the Fan Text Line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ray, Terrell Austin said that Cam Sutton's debut, I think the quote wasn't as clean as he would like. It looked to me like Cam, he made a play, but he got lucky on a couple of others, one of which I thought, if caught by McCaffrey, may have been a 90-plus yard touchdown. What did you think of his debut? Was it concerning or understandable or somewhere in between?
Yeah, understandable. They have supreme confidence that Cam Sutton's going to help this defense in the second half. And right now I think it's all about finding exactly where he fits. You also heard Terrell Austin speak to not putting him on the outside last week because James Pierre has been here for about 6 weeks, and he's been repping that more than Cam Sutton. So there's got to be a comfort level both with Cam and what he can do, but I think more importantly with the coaches and knowing what he can do. So I think right now, slot, some safety, I think maybe eventually some outside corner, but I think he's going to get better. I think it's understandable that he would be maybe a little bit rusty in that first outing. I think he's going to be much better from here on out.
What do you think that split is like between Bishop and Sutton on Sunday?
Well, I mean, it was probably, two-thirds in favor of Beanie or close to it in this game. I think eventually Cam is going to be that guy. He's going to get the majority of the reps, in the slot. You know, for this game, Beanie's a really good tackler. So, the Ravens are a team that likes to run the ball. Lamar Jackson in space, would you rather have Beanie Bishop or Cam Sutton? That's probably a wash. But in terms of Beanie's toughness and sticking his nose in there with Derrick Henry, I don't think they'll, be afraid to play him this week. So I think maybe this week, if not two-thirds in favor of Beanie, maybe more 50-50 split between those two.
What's the concern level with Jaylen Warren popping up on the injury report yesterday with a back situation? And then any other injury news or things you're really monitoring closely today, Ray?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to Jaylen after practice yesterday. I didn't see him in the locker room. So I'm not sure what's going on there. Hopefully, for his sake, it's just kind of a one day one off where he just needed a blow to get right there. But that's, a little bit concerning the way he's been banged up this year. So, we'll probably have to wait till later on today to find out what's going on there. The other injury news, guys, it's good. Other than Alex Highsmith, Nick Herbig is back. He's not going to have a designation later on today. I would imagine Dante Jackson might be questionable, but I think he's going to play. So all those guys who were banged up, Najee Harris, all those guys who were maybe a little bit nicked from that Commanders game, those guys are going to play with the exception of Alex Highsmith.
How about the trade acquisitions, Ray? I thought in their sample size against Washington, they certainly made an impact. Preston Smith found his way into the backfield a few times, and then Mike Williams, almost storybook-like. He's out there for a handful of snaps, one target, one reception, 32 yards, and the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, I think obviously their play on the field was impressive, only having a couple of days to prepare. Just being in that locker room for the past week or so, they're good guys. I think they fit into this team well. That's always a concern when you make acquisitions at the trade deadline. We all know what happened with Melvin Ingram a few years ago. That didn't work out. It seems like these two guys have seamlessly fit in, and it's a good fit from a chemistry perspective as well. Donnie, they're going to need Preston Smith in this game. Alex Highsmith is probably their best edge setter. I would say now with Preston Smith being that bigger body, I know TJ can do it when he wants to do it, but TJ is more of a rusher. So I think Preston Smith is going to be very important against a rushing team like the Ravens. And then obviously Nick Herbig coming back, you get him in there in sub package football and let him tee off. So you're down one guy there, but I think they can make it work with those three. And then Jeremiah Moon coming in for a few snaps as well.
Ray, let's get to the important stuff. Your take on oversized vehicles being banned from the tailgate parties. Did you see this, Donnie?
I did.
What do you make of this, Ray? Have you heard any fan feedback on this?
I haven't heard much, but listen, it's been a tradition for years and years and years. I don't know why oversized vehicles are such a problem, but if they are, hey, get a mid-sized vehicle down there. Brett, pack your stuff tight and get it done. I don't know. I think people can maybe overreact about this. Just find a different way to get it done. If you want to tailgate, go ahead and tailgate.
They're trying to take away tailgating bit by bit. I mean,
they're protecting the little people, though, Donnie.
Every single year, there's a new parking garage up.
About those nice buses that they have, those big Steeler buses, they're painted black and gold.
The guy who runs Alco said it's the little people we're trying to protect. It's the people that are having a party for 500 people. You guys are making it less enjoyable for the people around you. Man, this could be a powder keg here, Ray. Whose side are we on? Sounds like you're on the let them tailgate as they please. Sounds like you and you guys are too, right?
It's a tradition unlike any other, right? What's that, the Masters? That's Pittsburgh football, too. Let them do it.
Donnie, please proceed with questions about football for Ray.
I did want to ask, with Mike Williams, how much of an uptick we would see in his snaps. We knew that Preston Smith would be up due to injury.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, 9 the first game, I think anywhere between 20 and 25. Van Jefferson popped up on the report this week, so maybe that factors in. But I think around 25 is probably a good number for Williams this week.
Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
You may.
All right, Ray. Greatest home game moment from Steelers-Ravens. Is that obviously the Polamalu interception?
Absolutely. 100%.
What's next? Yeah, what's next then? Is it the AB helmet catch, the AB immaculate extension, the Santonio Holmes touchdown?
How about the 2010 divisional round? I think, was it Ryan Clark who had a big pick? That they were down 21-7 in that game.
He had a forced fumble and an interception.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that's not a moment, but in terms of like a turning point, that was pretty big. So that's, I don't know, maybe playoff games come to mind more readily than the Immaculate Reception. But yeah, those were two great playoff games. 2014, not so much. That was a disaster. But 08 and 010 were pretty fun.
Who plays more in this game, Preston Smith or Herbig?
I'll go Preston Smith by a slight margin.
Over under rushing yards for Lamar, 50 and a half.
I'll go under.
Over under passing yards for Lamar, 250 and a half.
Under.
That gets us to our prediction, Ray. You seem to be leaning for a low-scoring Ravens game. Derek, first let me ask, Derek Henry, over under 89 and a half yards rushing.
I'll go over slightly.
What's your prediction for the game?
I want to pick the Ravens, guys. I think, something in my head tells me that the Steelers can't have Lamar's number every single year, but the Steelers just have this feel-good vibe about them now. It's at home, coming off a big road win. So I got the Steelers winning this game, but I do admit they'll probably split the season series. So whether it happens Sunday or Baltimore, I think these two teams are evenly matched, but I'm going to pick the Steelers on Sunday.
Final score?
27-24.
Joey Porter follows Zay Flowers around, or is that not a great matchup for him?
That's not a great matchup. Joey is, 6'2"? Zay is kind of a shiftier guy, so I don't think we'll see that.
What will we see? Who's going to be on Zay then most of the time?
Well, Dante Jackson's banged up, so we'll have to see how that goes. I think they're going to try a number of different things. I don't think they're going to have anyone follow him, but if Dante Jackson is healthy, and obviously the Ravens can dictate that if they want to switch sides, but I think Jackson will get his fair share as well as Joey Porter on that.
If you're the Cowboys, would you rather hire Dion or Belichick?
Belichick.
Thank you, Ray. I have no further questions.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Ray.
There he goes. Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. Man, there's a lot of juicy topics there. Right, Donnie? Let's talk about this Joey Porter thing for a minute. He's coming off a rough game.
Yeah, he is.
Now, I saw McLaurin only had one catch last night, by the way.
Shut down by a rookie.
Yeah.
Quinyon Mitchell.
Quinyon Mitchell was taking two picks after Fatanu. Now, Fatanu, I still think, is going to be a really good player.
Yeah.
But do you kind of wish they had taken him? Have you seen the numbers that this dude has put up against elite receivers?
And I think,
as a rookie from Toledo.
I don't want to say that this was anticipated by people, but I do remember on draft night when he was like that player. There's always a player or two that slipped through that first round. And that was the one that immediately was being tweeted about, like, how could we have possibly let Quinyon Mitchell slip to Howie Roseman and the Eagles? Like, how do we let this happen? And he was a player that I think a lot of, I would say it was pretty much a consensus. He's going to be gone in the first 15 picks.
Yeah.
He makes it to, 22 or 23?
How does he make it, Donnie? What happened?
And there we go.
What are we doing? I still, like I said, Fatanu, I think, is going to be really good, and they were wildly impressed with him. But a little part of me wonders, man, listen to this. This was on Good Morning Football today on the NFL Network. Quinyon Mitchell versus notable wide receivers. Chris Olave, 2 catches, 23 yards. Mike Evans, 2 for 19. Jamar Blanking Chase, 2 for 16. Amari Cooper, 1 for 10. Malik Nabers, 1 for 9. Drake London, 1 for 5. C.D. Lamb, 1 for 5. And McLaurin didn't catch a ball on him. He caught his ball on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable. We're looking at first team all pro Sauce Gardner on steroids type stuff there.
I was going to say, you know what that reminds me of? A graphic that you see a lot now on Twitter, especially since it's 10 or 15 years old, whatever it is, of another Jets corner. You mentioned Sauce Gardner. I'm thinking Darrell Revis.
I mean, that's...
There was a graphic, I think it was 2008 or 9. He went up against pretty much any big-name wide receiver you can think of, and he shut every dude out.
I mean, what are we doing? I'm not talking about the Steelers. The rest of the NFL. What are you doing? It's a passing league, and the most valuable people out there are the guys who can throw it, who can catch it, who can tackle the quarterback and who can stop quarterbacks from operating. That's him. And he's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
And every team is going to be thinking about that in some way or another, I think. In some way or another, every team that passed on him. And he goes to the Eagles. To have a guy like that on the back end when you have the monsters they have up front, to give them an extra half second?
All the Georgia boys up front.
Oh, my God. And they just stifled him last night. He struggled. You know, it sort of puts a little bit of a new light on what the Steelers did in that game. Their defense, I think they got help from the Commanders. And also, he hasn't been himself really since that rib injury.
And I don't want to get on a rant about that game in particular for too long, but I'm assuming you watched it all the way through.
Last night?
I know you had some big family news yesterday, but I didn't know if you watched the game all the way through.
Yes, I did.
But we're pretty late in that game, and at that point, it's 12-10 because Jake Elliott, the Eagles kicker, he missed an extra point and like two other field goals.
He had
a very bad night.
Yeah.
The Commanders have a fourth down in pretty much chip shot territory to take the lead. And the man that everybody wanted to crown as Mr. Coach of the Year, Dan Quinn, he says, nah, I'll go for it. Fourth and three, a chance to take the lead with like 4 minutes to go. I'll go for it. The play was a disaster.
Yes.
Daniels, there was clear miscommunication. Had no idea what was going on. He gets taken out of bounds. That moment, the game was over. The Eagles just stormed right down the field. They scored. They get the football back on a turnover. Saquon runs in again.
I'm with you. And I'm usually
a go-for-it guy. I understand being aggressive in moments, but there really are times where teams just got to say, let's kick the field goal.
Especially to get a lead in a slugfest. If that's a high-scoring game, yeah, of course, go for it. You need all the points you can get today.
That was not, at the time, the type of game that was, we got to wait to see who has the football last.
Exactly. And then, Donnie, I felt like I was like in a world of my own that made no sense, that nobody else was seeing this. There were still 4.5 minutes left. They're down two scores. They're down 16 points. Herb Street is saying the game's over and the final score was 26-10. Michaels is saying the game's over. And the Commanders are operating like the game's over. There was no hurry up, no nothing. And I'm standing up yelling at the television. Did I misdo the math here? If they score a touchdown here with 2.5 minutes left, that's a lot of time. They have two timeouts. They could actually score and still kick off,
They ended up scoring, getting the two-point conversion.
But not until there were 30 seconds left.
Correct. They didn't have time.
I was just flabbergasted by the whole thing. And then I wanted them to score because Herb Street and Michaels, we would have had memes all over the place today or quotes and clips of them saying, well, this game's over. So, you know, see what they could do on this last drive. What?
That's why I thought last night was a good example. I mean, obviously, you know, mid-season rankings and awards, you know, that's just something that's very common. A lot of people wanted to crown Dan Quinn as the coach of the year. And for the second straight week, he was outcoached by guys that get criticized by a lot of people.
That's what brings us back to our little course correction, Donnie. In a matter of 4 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 5 days, they've gone from 7-2 and the toast of the league to 7-4, and will they make the playoffs type of deal? I think they will. Their schedule is favorable, but that's how quickly things change in the NFL.